God working with time to bring all things to God's ultimate goal or design, the timeless, the God who does not live in time, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting, yet the Almighty God is working with time to bring all things to their ultimate God's purpose end. Most of the lesson will surround Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1 rather, verse 7 to verse 11. Let us hear that passage.
In whom?
Ephesians, a brother is reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to verses 11.
In whom we have redemption.
In whom we have redemption.
Through his blood.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
The forgiveness of sins.
By redemption, the Apostle Paul is saying, I mean the forgiveness of your sin. That's how comes you get redemption. That's how comes. That's the channel through which the Almighty God is going to redeem you. You must get your sins forgiven through Christ's blood. Read on.
According to the riches of his grace.
According to the riches of God's grace.
Wherein he hath abounded towards us.
Wherein he has abounded towards us.
In all wisdom.
In all wisdom.
And prudence.
And prudence.
Having made known unto us.
Having made known unto us.
The mystery of his will.
May I just stop there, brother? We're in chapter 1. We are way in verse about 10.
Nine.
Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is just now in verse 9, about to touch the main topic or the main subject of his discussion in the book of Ephesians. Read 9 again, brother.
Having made known unto us.
Having made known unto us.
The mystery of his will.
The mystery of his will.
According to his good pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Which he hath purposed in himself.
Uh-huh.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
Uh-huh. In the management. That's what the word dispensation, that's the concept in the word. It usually been used to describe a trusted slave who had the management of the master's house or estate. The word dispensation. So, continue, brother.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time.
In the dispensation, in the management of the fullness of time.
He might gather together.
Have you ever thought that the Almighty God has been in control of all of history? And that the time... A accumulated, historical event, the Almighty God has guided all of them. That's what we are going to spend the next few minutes looking at. And that the Almighty God is guiding all things. It matters not how secular it looks. The Almighty God is guiding all events to culminate in Jesus Christ. And that the Almighty God will ultimately be victorious. And that all things will work to the purpose of the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Satan has not and will never succeed because Jesus Christ has already won the victory by his resurrection. In the lesson tonight, what we are asking is, why not cast your lot with Jesus Christ? He has already been victorious through his victory over death, over the grave. And in the lesson tonight, we are appealing to you, in fact, to your wisdom, to your common sense, to decide to cast your lot with Jesus Christ. You stop at our own verse, what, brother?
We're in verse 10.
That
he might gather together.
That he might gather together.
In one.
In one.
All things in Christ.
Wait. Whatever is going on in the world, what the brothers just read there in verse 10, is God's goal and objective. The Almighty God has managed, has supervised, has planned, and is directing all of what's going on in the world toward the end that the brothers just read there. Read that again, brother.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times,
uh-huh,
he might gather together,
uh-huh,
in one all in, things, uh-huh, in Christ. Both.
Wait. That he might gather
together in one all things in Christ.
He might gather in one all things.
In Christ. Did one body. Any of you can find that passage? It's one of the passage is, I think, Philippians. Run with me to Philippians. I'm not sure. Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 15 or 16, somewhere there. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God reveal even this unto you. Okay. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing.
Yes, that's an important passage, Philippians. Okay, let me go on until that passage come back. that it, read again, brother, verse 11 or 10.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
That in the dispensation, that is the management of the completion or fullness of time.
He might gather together in one all things in Christ.
In Christ.
Both which are in heaven. And which are on earth. Even in Christ. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
What verse is that?
That's verse 11 now.
Okay, read verse 11 and stop.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
He worked all things after the counsel of his will. All that goes on in the world, all that is going on, all that went on in the world, in history past, and all that will happen in the future, the Almighty God is guiding everything to ultimately serve his eternal purpose. Working all things after the counsel
of his own will.
Let us, as I've previously said, that in this inspired letter, Paul, in verse chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, touch the subject that he is planning to deal with, and that is God's mystery. In the New Testament, let me hear a little more about God's mystery, dear brother. I think it's verse 10, 9 or 10, something was said there about God's mystery.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
The mystery of his will.
According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed
now,
in himself.
Get this. In the New Testament, mystery is not something mysterious or something hard to be understood. That's not what the word mystery implies or mean in the New Testament. The word mystery mean something which has been kept secret, something which has been hidden, but which is now revealed and made plain to a particular sector of the audience to which the letter was written. It's important that you get this. Mystery in the New Testament usually carried the meaning of that which was previously hidden, but is now been revealed, but something which is still incomprehensible or not understood by those who are outside of Jesus Christ. In other words, mystery is that which God has now opened to to the understanding, even though it had been hidden in God. It is now open to the understanding, not of everybody, but to those who are in Jesus Christ. Watch here, watch here. Worldly knowledge. Have you achieved your PhD, your doctorate in whatever the field is? That's good. That doesn't mean you will understand God's word. Are you a secular genius? Are you an academic smart aleck? That doesn't mean you will understand God's word. Because the very passage that we are is letting us know that not all men and women, however smart from the worldly standpoint that person might be, you may not understand God's word. You know what? You need the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need God's help in your life to help you understand his word. But Brother Mitchell, I read the Bible. Every day I keep the Bible right under my pillow. You see, there's a difference between studying God's word to understand it, to get God's message for you, and keeping God's word as a superstitious instrument. Just to keep it at your pillow to drive away dopey, that's not the purpose of the Bible. Look, look, look. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. I am on the point that worldly, secular, academic knowledge does not open the mind of men and women to Christian truth. You need the Almighty God through Christ working with you. Let us hear the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 12 through 14.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit.
Notice here. Now we have received. The we there is not referring to every man and every woman. And the now, start again, brother.
Now we have received.
We have received.
Not the spirit of the world.
We have not received the spirit of the world.
But the spirit which is of God.
That belongs to the world and the spirit that comes from God. Read on.
That we might know the things that are freely given
to us. You notice what the spirit that we receive does? That we may know what is?
The things that are freely given to us. Of
wait,
God.
Wait, is it talking about some money and some land and some work? No. It's talking about God's word. Read on, brother.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches.
You notice, brother, which things also we speak, not in words which man wisdom
teacheth.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
You see, only a spiritual person can understand something. Read on.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
You sure you got that right, brother?
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
The man or woman who doesn't have Christ working in him or her have difficulty understanding God's truth. even though it is written in simple English, you need God's help. Read again, brother, that verse.
But the natural man.
The natural man, the unspirited man, the unconverted man, the man in whose life Jesus Christ has not entered to make a difference, to help eradicate ignorance. But the natural man
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of
does
God.
Does not receive the things of the Spirit.
For they are foolishness unto him.
That's right. That's right. May I? When I come telling you that you must be baptized to be saved, for some of you, you think that's foolishness. When the man that preach every year say, water wash away sin. But the Bible tells us that we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So there are a lot of things when you are taught it, you laugh at it, not realizing that you are laughing at God's wealth to direct you out of hell into his eternal bliss. I would like to hear that verse again. Is it verse 13 somewhere there?
Verse 14.
But
the natural man.
The natural man.
Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Uh-huh.
For they are foolishness unto him.
Uh-huh.
Neither can he know them.
Neither can he know them.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
You have to have the Holy Spirit working within you. Any man or woman, for you to begin to get an understanding of God's will and God's ways. That must be kept in mind. May I? In fact, look at Ephesians chapter 1. This time, verse 8 through verse 11.
Wherein
uh-huh.
he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence,
mm-hmm.
having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Are we all there? Unto us, Mr. Mitchell, us who? The Christian. What has he made known unto us?
The mystery of his will.
The mystery, which means his will has been kept a secret all these umpteen years down through the century. But now in Jesus Christ, God's will for man has been revealed. But Brother Mitchell, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. That was a temporary measure. May I just drop something by you here? And you can take us up on that. The Israelites. From the Almighty God called them out of Egypt until the coming of Jesus Christ. It was about 1,400 years. Watch here now. All this time the Israelites had the law, the Ten Commandments law. Did you know? I'm just dropping this. And we would be willing to sit down with any man, any woman to discuss it. All of these years, with thousands of cows and sheep slaughtered, offered and sacrificed. But throughout this 1400 years, no sin for anyone, anywhere was ever truly forgiven. Somebody can hear that. The Israelites with the Ten Commandments. For 1,400 years, they existed from 1,000 uh, five, Forgiveness is available only through and in Jesus Christ. So, Brother Mitchell, why did they offer all those animals? Yes, you can call us. We'll be willing to sit down and show you. No sin for any men and women today who claim they are keeping the law, the Bible says they are falling from grace. Let us hear Ephesians. Verse 10 again, brother.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Remember, notice the dispensation of the fullness of time. Remember the word dispensation refers to household management. And what the Bible is telling us here is that throughout history, the Almighty God has been managing and directing time and event. It doesn't mean that all the event that took place throughout history was ordained so by God. What it does mean is that whatever the event that took place in history, the Almighty God guided those events, that at no time was God's plan and purpose threatened. The Almighty God would make sure that whatever the event was, it would serve God's purpose. And it would serve man's eternal welfare for those men and women who choose to cast their lot with Jesus Christ. May I? The dispensation of the fullness of time. This refers to the disposal or the consummation of all things in Jesus Christ by the Almighty God. In Christ. In Jesus Christ. All things going to work out as God wants them to be. It matters not. And all things going to work out for the Christian men and women who turn their lives over to Jesus Christ. All the events of time, be that event secular or religious, all event throughout history, they are managed by God. They, as I've stated a while ago, they might not be caused by God, but the Almighty God makes sure that all events are so directed that even those that seems to be going against God's purpose end up serving God's purpose. All events. The first advent of Jesus Christ was of God's planning and directing. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. We are going to list a few events here. Let us hear the passage.
But when the fullness of time was come.
Wait, here, the title of the lesson, the timeless God working with time to bring all things to its ultimate God purpose goal. When the fullness of what?
Of time was come.
Uh-huh.
God sent forth his son.
When Jesus Christ was born, Jesus Christ did not come 1 week earlier than he should, or 5 days later than he should. That's what that passage the brother is dealing with, found in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4.
Yes, but when the fullness
when
of time.
When the fullness, Brother Mitchell, what does it mean, fullness of time? When the right time came, Jesus Christ also came. Put another way, when the time was adequate and appropriate, fixed by God for the Savior, who would save you from your sin and me from my sin, when the time fits into God's scheme of things came, Christ also came. Not a day earlier, not a day later. But not only that, but the event of Jesus Christ ministering, not only Christ's advent into the world, but Christ's very ministry. Look in the passage of John chapter 2, verse 4 and 17, 1. Quick.
John 2, 14.
John chapter 2, verse 4 and chapter 17, verse 1.
Jesus said unto her, what have I to do with thee?
Listen this passage. And this is telling us that every event as it pertains Jesus Christ and man's salvation, to the very minute or second, it was planned by the Almighty God. Let us hear the passage, brother.
Jesus saith unto her.
Woman.
What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.
Everybody understand that? It's time for Jesus Christ to do a miracle or to do something extraordinary. But Jesus Christ could not do that extraordinary thing until the time was ripe for it. My hour has not yet come.
17:1.
Uh-huh.
These words spake Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And lifted up his eyes to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And said.
Uh-huh.
Father,
uh-huh.
The hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee.
It's like Jesus Christ saying to the Almighty God, it's now the right time for you to glorify me is here. You see, it comes back to the point that every event in history, be they secular or religious, they have been planned by God. Nothing happens outside of God's plan in respect to man's salvation. Are we all there? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, or rather the resurrection of the dead during Christ's ministry. Chapter 5 of John. I'm just going to repeat a few things and give you the passage. We will not have time to read all of them because I am determined not to be too long. The resurrection of the dead. John chapter 5 and verse 28.
Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming.
The what?
The hour is coming,
uh-huh,
in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
Do you notice how specific Jesus Christ is? Not a day is coming, not a month, but the hour is coming when certain event will take place. Uh-huh.
In which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Do you know that that includes you and me? That's right. Don't ever go to a funeral and think that that is final. Death is final as pertaining living in this life. But beyond the dead at that funeral, yours are mine. There is life beyond the grave. This is why it is important that you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, for him to start making and molding you into a Christ-like character. Wait, you do not, none of us, become Christ-like in one day or one week. This is why men and women do themselves harm when they wait until there is nothing left. Then they crawl in to get baptized. Now God will forgive you and accept you. Why don't become a child of God when you are young and healthy, so that the Almighty God can begin to make you into the person and the character that is the Christ-like character that you need to be in preparation for heaven. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, not only the event of Jesus Christ's first advent, not only the event of Jesus's and the resurrection of all men, but also the event of the decline of nation. Yes, nation rises, nation declines. Listen what God says about that. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17 and verse 26.
And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth.
The Almighty God has made of one blood
all nations of men.
And this is a medical fact. While you may have a different blood type, but it is surprising that my blood can be given to a Caucasian, and his blood can be given to me if I am sick, if we have the same blood type. God has done that. He has done what, brother? Made of one blood
all nations of men,
mm-hmm,
for to dwell on all the face of the earth,
mm-hmm,
and hath determined the times before appointed.
What, brother?
And hath determined the times before appointed,
mm-hmm,
and the bounds of their habitation.
It is no accident that the Chinese live in Asia, the Negroid occupy Africa. Did you listen what the brother has just, that's exactly what it is doing. The European lives in Europe. It's no accident. Listen, read that you have just
and read. Hath determined the times before and, appointed.
And had determined the time that was appointed before.
And the bounds
the
of their
bounds,
of their habitation.
That is the geographical location in which different race or ethnic group live. That's God's doing. And here the Bible, Acts of the Apostle, where the brother is reading from, He's telling us that is God's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap up. And that is, the second coming of Christ has already been set. Did we all hear that? No man knows, not even the angel of God knows, but the time is set when all the activities of this world are going to stop. And every man will come to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is said. The very progress, the military, the secular, the law and order progress that Rome made at the time Christianity came into being, that was no accident. That there was rule of law in the Roman provinces. That's no accident. That's part of what the Bible meant when it said, when the fullness of time. The legal system under the Roman government helped to protect the gospel of Christ. Paul could appeal to Caesar when they want to jail him because he preached the gospel. That's no accident. That's the working of the Almighty God. And this is what the Bible talks about when it talks about the dispensation. That is the management that the Almighty God has displayed throughout all of history. We are encouraging you today, especially those who are not Christian, why don't turn your life over to this wise God who gave Jesus Christ for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for your redemption. There can be no forgiveness of sin outside of Jesus Christ. And there can be no forgiveness and cleansing from sin without baptism. Because the Bible tells us that it is in Jesus Christ that we become new people. The Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, help me here, he is a new creature. You see, God doesn't want the old man of sin and disobedience. That's why men and women are commanded to repent and get baptized. For what reason? For the remission of sin, for the removal of sin. That's why we get baptized, to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. But Brother Mitchell, you know, my mother prayed one of the best prayer I've ever heard when she was dying. She wasn't baptized. Don't you think she's saved? Because that person died. Let's not deal with the dead. We are saying to you that God's word teaches, it matters not how you or I pray. That will not deal with your sin until you obey the gospel of Christ. And obedience of the gospel include you must repent and get baptized. But Mr. Mitchell, I was sprinkled. But you must repent and get baptized. Because sprinkling is not baptism. In baptism, both the person to be baptized and the person doing the baptism have to go down into the water. In sprinkling, none of them go down into the water. The Bible tells us that to become a Christian, you have to unite. You have to form a solidarity with Jesus Christ, in Jesus' death, in Jesus' burial, and in Jesus' resurrection. Every man, every woman have to become one with Christ in that which he did to redeem you and me. What did he do? Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb, and Jesus Christ was resurrected. Do we have 1 minute to read that passage, brother, as we close the lesson? And I'm going to close my Bible. I am talking about Romans chapter 6 from verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
About anything that was good. What we are saying to you, you must obey the gospel of Christ in order to have God deal with your sin. I may just drop this here too. So many things. There's a difference between becoming a member of a church and doing what Christ wants you to do for forgiveness. There's a difference. But listen to the passage now. The brother is reading from Romans chapter 6 from verse 3 to around verse 5. Listen. Know ye not
that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
You notice you are baptized into Christ.
Were baptized into his death.
You are baptized into his
death. Therefore. We are buried.
Therefore, we are
buried.
We are buried. Are we all there?
With him.
With him.
By baptism.
Wait. Notice the solidarity. With him. It's that oneness between you and Christ when you take the Bible step to become a Christian.
By baptism.
By baptism. You are what? By baptism?
Are buried with him.
You are what, brother?
You are buried with him.
You're sure it's not sprinkled?
We are buried with him.
You're sure it's not pouring?
We are buried with him.
That's what's there?
Buried with him.
You are buried, and notice the with mean you are forming a solidarity with Christ. Read on, brother.
Into death.
Into death.
That like as Christ was raised from the dead.
In the same way Christ was raised from the dead.
By the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in newness of life.
You also will be resurrected from the water to live a new life. The For brother read from Romans chapter 6.
If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
Take time with me, brother.
If we have been planted together in the likeness of
his
death.
There's a word there you say too quick, brother Webb.
For if.
If. That's the conditional word. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his
death.
No, what is the likeness of his death? You must die spiritually. And you do that when you repent. You must be buried. You do that when you are baptized under the water, not sprinkling. You must be resurrected, from the water to walk in newness of life. That's Christ's plan to save you. And he can save you tonight. If you will step forward when we stand to sing an invitation song. And if you'd like to speak to us about any point that raised was brought up tonight, any point, call us. We'll be willing to meet with you, sit down with you, and talk with you. Jesus Christ loves you and wants to save you, but he can save you only Christ's way. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Let us see you in our worship Sunday morning also, God's willing.